Blog Talk Radio.
Entertainment and Sports Radio Network. We are live today from Central Virginia, and today is going to be the last show for a while. As I said, we're going to get to more information on the show. We have the championship in 1AA set. It's been set in 1A. We will get to preview the BCS games coming up in just a bit, along with the Level 4 games that just happened. We're going to get to those, and we've got a lot more for you today. Hold on, I'm going to adjust my mic for just a second. Sorry if that made a disturbing noise on your end, but I think it was a little too far away, so wanted to make an adjustment there real quick. And, you know, watching the NFL this weekend again. By the way, before we even get to the rant, let me kind of tell you what's going on. So I'm taking my mortgage licensing exam to become a mortgage loan originator in the state of Virginia on the 28th. So I'm taking that on the 28th, meaning after today, you're not going to hear a lot from me. let me just say that. I'm going to be a little bit quiet. I will be hitting the books hard over the next couple of weeks trying to pass that exam. So things are going to be quiet. However, after that, I have some big interviews planned. I don't usually like to give away who I have plans to do interviews with, but in this case, since I don't really think it's going to matter whether or not I say it now or wait until I've got confirmation for it, I'm just going to go and tell you that I am working on getting an interview with What If Sports Customer Service or the developer. I'm sending in a ticket to get them to come on here, and I go after people. Usually I just don't hold anything back. I'll go right after you. However, I think if they accept the interview to come on here, it would be inappropriate for me to do that. So what I'm going to do is bring them on here. I will field 3 questions from anybody in the Wilkinson world, along with posting a link for anybody in What If Sports to listen to. However, the exclusivity of questions will be extended to only those within the Wilkinson world. And I will bring them on here. I'll ask those 3 questions. I will get into them on as far as the engine goes, any potential updates, and we will go from there. But I do have a plan to interview them. I have a plan to interview somebody else who I know all of you know in the What If Sports community, but I won't give out his name yet. And then I'm also, if we do a show before the Super Bowl, I have a special interview planned, and we will get into that. Listen, watch NFL games this weekend. I know you did too, and I won't spend much time on the rant. I think we've got too many interesting things to get into today as far as our world is considered. But I did watch the games this weekend, and obviously the most exciting game that I know all of you were watching and maybe most excited about at the end was that Seattle-Green Bay game up there in Seattle. And we all know how it ended. I'm sure you guys have heard to death from ESPN and such about the ending of that game. And listen, I predicted the ending of that game in the first quarter. Said to my wife, when the Packers went up 6-0, and for the second consecutive time, they did not go for it on 4th and inches, or 4th and just a couple of yards, I said, that's going to cost them the game. You have to be aggressive in this. It's the NFC Championship. You have to put it on the line. You cannot play safe in these scenarios. And so what did they do? Well, they kicked the field goal, went up 6-0, and they ended up extending their lead. And, I mean, Seattle couldn't get any offense going. But if you look at every stat line in that game, and stats I usually don't care about, but if you look at every stat line in that football game, all of that pointed to being a win for Green Bay. No reason in the world should you lose a game where you have that big of an advantage on turnovers. If you're forcing that many turnovers, teams never lose with that. Teams never lose when they force that many turnovers. The only reason they lost, well, there were a lot of reasons they lost, in my opinion. One was the decision to not go for it on fourth and goal twice. I thought that's terrible. If you are the coach of the Green Bay Packers, if you have Aaron Rodgers on your team along with all of those players, how in the world do you not have a play in your playbook to get you a couple of yards in a big situation like that? I know it's in Seattle, but come on, you got to figure it out. And then second of all, I thought it was on the players in the last 6-7 minutes of the game. The players did not make the right plays. And then thirdly, and I know no one wants to hear this, but I thought a little bit of it was on Aaron Rodgers too. He was not aggressive in the latter part of that game. He threw a lot of completions he knew he could get. He didn't take many risks downfield. And if you watch the Patriots in the later game, what they did was they just jammed it down New England's throats for four quarters. And I will never blame a team for running up the score, because in these games, in today's football, listen, a 16-point lead late in the game, it's not safe. And Seattle proved it. Seattle proved what I have theorized for a long time in the NFL, and that is those leads are not safe. Green Bay didn't go for it on fourth down, and that screwed them up. And that's why they lost. So listen, I think in these championship games, which we're getting ready to have tomorrow in our world, I think you have to be great on fourth and goal. I think you have to be willing to take some risk. You cannot play a game that you just don't want to lose. You've got to play to win. And if you are not willing to do that, I think you are going to struggle. And Green Bay did. Seattle came back in the end, and Seattle found a way to win it. And it really did not surprise me. Now, I mean, listen, Green Bay for 3.5 quarters played better than Seattle. Everything pointed to Green Bay being the better team in that game, but Green Bay just, they lost it at the end of the game. They absolutely lost it at the end of the game. And I just, to me, I thought that was just pathetic to not go for it on fourth and goal. I think you have to. And a lot of, it wasn't just that, by the way, a lot of things led up to that game ending the way it did. Okay, so now we have Seattle and New England for the Super Bowl. Now, I want to make one comment on something before we get into what if sports, before we get into our world. And the reason I want to do this is because I wanted to start this show because I do have a interest in broadcasting, and I have an interest in broadcasting because I'm interested in having my opinion to be heard to so many people through this venue. I think it's interesting how that plays out, and I am very I desire to have my opinion heard, and I would like to pursue an avenue or pursue a career where my opinion can consistently be heard by a large number of people. So listen, right now you're my only audience, but I want to get to something that really is kind of on my heart, because we're at the Super Bowl, and every time the Super Bowl comes around, this is what I think of, because it's just, it's way too depressing not to think of, and I promise you this will be the only time I ever do this on the show. But people, you have to understand that during the Super Bowl, there is more sex trafficking on that night than any other night of the year. And I would be doing you a disservice and me a disservice if I didn't raise as much awareness about this issue as I possibly could. And I love the Super Bowl as much as anyone. Of course, I'm going to watch. But we need to be on high alert when it comes to sex trafficking. We need to raise our awareness of it. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but I think it's disgusting what goes on with women who are trafficked. throughout the world. I think you would be surprised at how many women are trafficked throughout this country. And I think as men, which I'm assuming all of us here are, if not most of us, we need to take a stand against sex trafficking. So what I would encourage all of you to do is to Google Freedom 424. That's an organization that I'm familiar with. And by the way, there's a lot of other organizations that help out with this too. It's not just them. But if you want more information and want to raise awareness, want to learn more about sex trafficking and the impacts it has on women and on families' lives, go look up Freedom 424, and on their website, you can learn more. Now, they have no idea I'm doing that, by the way. They have no idea I'm putting them out there today. But I wanted to because I do have some experience with that organization back to when I was when I went to school in college at Liberty. And yeah, that's an organization that I'm familiar with. But again, there's lots of other organizations out there. And I think as we approach the Super Bowl, this is an appropriate time to raise awareness for that issue. And if we do have a pre-Super Bowl show, I'm going to try and bring on one of the members of that organization here to talk more about that and about how it impacts lives and about the numbers that actually will take place during the Super Bowl, because I think it's sickening, and I think as men, we need to take a stand. Okay, so that's out of the way. Now let's get to Division 1A, where the championship happens tomorrow, and today we have Level 4 bowls. There is one conference, by the way, that I think nobody is paying attention to. I'm going to give them some credit in just a minute. In the Capital One Bowl, Pittsburgh took it to South Carolina today, 48-27. In the Cotton Bowl, Washington gets by Florida, 24-14. In the Gator Bowl, we all were asking, is Nevada for real? They proved it today, beating Maryland in an extremely exciting game, 29-24. Your final there from the Gator Bowl. In the Humanitarian Bowl, Ohio whips up on Texas Tech, 23-6. In the Outback Bowl, check this score out. Memphis, they end up scoring 13 unanswered points. No, I'm sorry. They ended up scoring 16 unanswered points starting in the third quarter, going through the fourth quarter to beat Oklahoma State 33-30 in the Outback Bowl. And in the Peach Bowl, Tennessee destroys UConn 40-10. Okay, so in the Fiesta Bowl tomorrow, Texas takes on Minnesota. In the Orange Bowl, Penn State plays Navy. In the Rose Bowl, USC plays Ohio State. In the Sugar Bowl, Boston College plays TCU. And in the championship game, Rutgers takes on LSU. There is one conference, by the way, and I don't know why I didn't think of it until today, but listen, and it's not because they had a great bowl season. They actually didn't have a great bowl season, but I think right now the Big East Conference is way tougher than anybody wanted to give them credit. Now, they only have three ranked schools in that conference, but I would put the Big East, and I'm going to be careful saying this because I know some people are going to take offense to this, but I would put the Big East on par with the Big 12. I think they're as good as the Big 12, and I think they are better. Right now, I think the Big East is better than the Pac-10. I don't know that that's going to hold true because the Pac-10 has several teams that are in rebuild mode. But I think right now, the Big East, they might be the third or fourth toughest conference in 1A. They're right up there. I think they're better than the ACC. I really do. I think the Big East, nobody expected them to be as tough as they were, but think about it. They've got Rutgers playing in the championship game. Pittsburgh is good enough to get there. They just didn't have the right schedule for it, and then they dropped that game with Rutgers. So those are two teams that I think are very, very good. Now, UConn, they did get crushed today by Tennessee, a game that I probably thought they were outmatched in. But UConn had a great season. And that's a real team, too, but they got to Level 4 ball. Listen, I don't know nobody wants to admit to it right now, but I think the Big East is the third best conference in the country. I think they were incredible this season. And my one knock on Rutgers was that they didn't have to endure that tough of a conference. But listen, I think they did, and I think Rutgers and LSU tomorrow, I think it's going to be a fun, fun game. I'm really liking Rutgers. The closer we get to this, the more I like Rutgers. Now, I still think it's going to be a coin flip game. I don't think Rutgers has this tremendous advantage and they're going to go in there tomorrow and just run all over LSU. I think what will happen is I think it's going to be a very close game and Rutgers probably wins 31-21. But I like, listen, last week I didn't like them as much. The closer we get to this thing, though, the more I like Rutgers. So I'm picking them to win the championship. Now, switch gears here for a minute to Division I AA, which has had, it's been a predictable championship game. But as far as the road to this championship game, it's been extremely unpredictable. Now, the one side of the bracket that went kind of as we expected was the North. Jacksonville crushed Murray State, got by Colgate, and then lost to Mississippi Valley State, who crushed Texas State. And then you had the one upset with Sam Houston State over Southern Illinois, but Mississippi Valley State made quick work of them and got to the Final Four. That's about how I expected the North to go. The South, I thought, was maybe the most predictable. They might have, I guess the North and South were both pretty predictable this season. But, I mean, that's because they had Jacksonville State in there. Brown and East Tennessee State gave everybody a fun game to watch. But the North and South went about how I thought it would. What got really interesting was the East, where you had one-seeded UMass get knocked out in the first round to Eastern Illinois. Then you had Drake come in as a five-seed and struggle with Eastern Illinois in the second round, but get through them. And then Morehead State, the two-seed, ends up winning this bracket. And then the west side, Holy Cross comes in, barely gets out of the first round, barely gets out of the second round, and then gives California State a strong game. And Holy Cross had a 10-point lead heading into the fourth quarter. The only reason California State won was because of a very strong fourth quarter where they scored 21 points. And that's how we got to our Final Four. So, listen, that East and that West side was completely wild. And then today, California State took it to Morehead State. I told you, and Morehead State surprised me a bit, but what I said at the start of the season is that Morehead State's lack of defensive backs would really hurt them. And in a game where their offense was challenged for a large majority, Morehead State's defense just couldn't keep up, and California State ran over them. Jacksonville State got by Mississippi Valley State 38-16. So, again, we have Jacksonville State and California State back in the championship game. But if it's any consolation to how deep this field was, we had three two-seeds get into the Final Four and only one-seed. So this, listen, this 1AA playoffs was wild. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought, you know, even going into these games today, although we kind of knew Jacksonville State and California State would win, both Morehead State and Mississippi Valley State had some reasons to be that would make one curious. And listen, it was a great playoffs, and the two powers, they're back against each other. And is this the third straight time they face each other in the championship? Let's see. Yeah, third consecutive time they have faced each other in the championship game. It will be the fourth time in the past six seasons they face each other in the championship. So, listen, California State, Jacksonville State, proving to everyone just how good those two teams have been over the past several seasons. Now, Jacksonville State has won 8 in a row. I'm not going to say anything other than I think tomorrow might be more interesting than what people are giving credit to the championship game. I like Jacksonville State. This is the best team they've had in maybe all of their 8 seasons of their championships. In all their 8 championship runs, this might be the best team they've ever had. But California State is extremely good. Sean Murphy has that pro set working as well as it ever has been. And the thing I like about them is there's not much for Jacksonville State to look at in terms of game planning for this team. They don't have much to go off of. You've got a few playoff games, But really, California State's just kind of been messing with people for the past all season, really. I mean, there's not much to go off of if you repeat the game plan. So I look at that game, and I see some areas where California State has a bit of an advantage. I think tomorrow's going to be really interesting, but I think it's going to come down to I think the number one thing it could come down to is turnovers that destroyed Morehead State today. Morehead State had 5 turnovers, and truthfully, if it weren't for those 5 turnovers, Morehead State might have actually been in that game. Jacksonville State and Mississippi Valley State today, there were no turnovers. So if there's no turnovers, then I think it leans Jacksonville State a little bit. But if California State can go in there, force the Gamecocks to turn it over a few times, then I think California State has a real chance to win that game. But that thing, I think that could come down to the last minute. I don't think there's anything secure in Jacksonville State winning it. But, you know, I've been wrong before, and a lot of times we get to these games, we see a game that everybody likes, and then at the end of it, it's just a blowout leaning towards the favorite. So that could happen today as well, or tonight as well. That's going to be a fun game to watch, though. So we'll see how that goes there. Our Coach of the Year finalists, again, for D1A, Logan W3 from Rutgers, CJL9652 from Nevada, ESF0242 from Navy, GKAAL from USC, and TKE Chubb from Penn State. They both get on there, or they all get on there as finalists. And then in the 1AA Coach of the Year finalists, we had Robbie P. from Holy Cross, Buck18 from UMass, Coach James T. from ETSU, GD player from Duquesne, still WDP from Coastal Carolina. And as far as that Coach of the Year award goes, I mentioned this in the forums, but I'm going to change it next season. I'm looking for guys to be a part of a committee that will help determine the finalists. And then based off of that committee's votes, we will have our finalists, and you will still vote for who you think should win Coach of the Year. And so I'm going to put together a committee, and then what I want to do with that committee is to determine basically a point system that would – it's going to impact how much of a team has improved from last season. It will impact your overall record. So it'll combine it with that and then your guest recruiting rankings. That way it kind of gives us a more accurate representation of, okay, so we're not excluding teams that had a good season but also had a good season last season. We're not excluding teams that had a good improvement but didn't go far in playoffs. And we're not excluding teams that are just 1 to 2 seasons away. And really we haven't seen the improvement on the field yet, but they've got a lot of potential there as far as next season goes. So, listen, there's a lot of different factors that I think I want to play into this, but we're going to create a point system that will combine all of those factors, and then based off of that is how we will determine our finalists. And then, again, you will vote out of our finalists for who you think should win that award. So if you're interested in being a part of that committee, go ahead and send me a site mail, or you can email me, cjsweat@gmail.com. Send me an email that you are interested in being a part of the committee. I'll be reviewing, as far as members for the committee, I'll be reviewing your success at D1A. I want guys who have experience. And if you get onto a committee, there'll be a committee for 1A and 1AA, or I may just combine it. I'm not sure yet. But if you get onto a committee, it will be because you have experience. And if I do separate committees for each division, then I want you to stay in that division. So, you know, if you're a 1AA coach and you want to be on the 1AA committee, then don't have any intentions on moving up. Because if you move up, then I'm just going to disqualify you from the 1AA committee and move you off the committee. Mostly because I want the people who are judging this and making the decisions for this, I want them to be involved in that level of play. The other way to do it is to have a combined committee determine results for each division. And the reason for this, by the way, is because each division plays out differently. There are certain things that impact 1AA that don't necessarily impact 1A. A lot of that has to do with players' talent and with recruiting and being at an elite and not being at an elite. And so there's a lot of different things that impact it. And so What I want to do is have guys with a lot of experience making these decisions. And the reason for this, by the way, is because I've received a lot of not complaints, but just suggestions from other coaches about coaches they feel should have been nominated for the award that weren't. And I didn't nominate those coaches, not necessarily because I didn't feel like they were deserving of it. It was because of what I determined other coaches were more deserving of. So, and that was all an opinion. And I think for this award, if we're going to give away a true Coach of the Year award, it shouldn't just be my opinion. I'm for diverse opinions. So I want guys to come in, a lot of heads talking. This is going to be some conference calls, some emails going back and forth. So if you're interested in being in the committee, again, send me a site mail or send me an email, cjsweat@gmail.com, and I will put you on the committee if I deem that you can make you will be a valuable asset to the committee. So that's where we are at with that. Tomorrow we're going to have our champions. Tomorrow evening is your last chance to get me your vote for this season's Coach of the Year award. The committee, by the way, that will take effect for next season. So you apply now, but that's not going to impact this season's Coach of the Year vote. It will only impact next season. So again, get me your votes for this season's Coach of the Year award by tomorrow, or I guess by tonight, by whichever one I said on the forums. I know it's by midnight tonight or tomorrow, but you need to get me those votes, and I will be compiling them. I will tell you tomorrow afternoon who wins the Coach of the Year award. And that'll be the conclusion of the season. It is insane how quick the season goes by. I mean, it's just incredible how quickly the season has gone by. I mean, I seriously feel like just the other day we were discussing, which teams we thought could make some strong runs and get to the tournament, and we were looking at some bubble teams and some new coaches, and now all of a sudden here we are, and tomorrow we've got the championship games, and then right after that, we will have the coaching carousel. So this thing, it goes by so quickly. It really does. It feels like it takes forever for it to get started. But then once it does, we are in playoffs in no time. So, I'm excited for next season. And that's not because I'm going to be good. My team is going to be in a complete rebuild. I'll be lucky to win 10 games in the PFL next season. I mean, seriously. So it's not because of my team, but I just think we are getting so many coaches involved in this now. Like Division 1 AA, I think, is up to 45 coaches. In Division 1A, I think, is around 50. And we're continuing to get more coaches. Listen, the more coaches we get in here, the more experience we get in here, the more parity we're going to have. I think it's just going to get even more fun the more we get into this. So, listen, tell your friends to get in here. Into Wilkinson, we need more coaches in here. If 1AA could get up to like 80 coaches and 1A could get up to like 100, imagine how much fun this would be. I mean, and I love Pete. I love that dynasty he's built, but I just don't think with 80 1AA coaches, a dynasty like that's going to continue. So, let's get more coaches in here. Let's get more parity. I'm all for balance. I'm all for fun. I'm all for chaos. And I think the more coaches we get in here, the more that we're going to create. So, listen, I think next season, the season after that, it's just going to continue to get interesting. I had, by the way, some emails about which conference I thought was the best this season on 1AA and 1A. I thought my most impressive conference in terms of which conference I didn't expect to make a run but ended up being pretty decent was the Gateway. Now, they kind of completely fell off the map in playoffs, but I thought they looked very, very good all season long. I thought the Ivy was good, but they fell off in playoffs too. The Ohio Valley and the PFL probably are the two best conferences in 1AA. And I don't really think there's anybody else that's close to those two. I think those two have really separated themselves. In 1A, I think the Big Ten is probably the deepest. The SEC is probably the most top-heavy, and the Big East, to me, was the most impressive all season long with having two teams that, 10 games into the season, I'm looking at Pittsburgh and looking at Rutgers and going, either one of those teams can play for the championship. They're both very, very good. And, you know, Rutgers gets there. I think they're going to give LSU fits tomorrow. The ACC was probably the most disappointing conference, along with the Big 12 and the Pac-10. But I think the Pac-10 is rebuilding. So I think the Pac-10 in a couple seasons is going to be as tough as, say, the SEC is. And, by the way, these elites in 1A, I mean, this is going to be the most fun we've had in the coaching carousel in a while, because these 1A elites are up for grabs. Nebraska, I believe, will be up for grabs this season, along with Florida State. So you're going to have somebody take an elite job at both of those schools this season. And then what will be interesting will be which coaches don't apply for either one of those jobs, because they want to hold out for what I think is the best elite school that will be open within the next 3 seasons in Oklahoma, which should open up next season. So the interesting part will be who doesn't go after Florida State and Nebraska, because they are holding up for that job at Oklahoma. But again, within next season and this season, 3 elites should be open. Now, there's a chance that Boss Mao could save his job at Oklahoma. There's a chance of that, but looking at that roster and how they played this season, I just don't see it. In Nebraska, you know, it looks like their coach just wants to go be with his family for now, and I completely understand that. He's not getting fired. It looks like he's going to resign at the end of the season. So it looks like Nebraska is going to be available at the end of the season, along with Florida State, because it looks like Florida State's going to fire their coach, Slider 4480. So, listen, a lot of elites up for grabs. That's going to make this coaching carousel a lot of fun. That to me, I love watching how that develops and how certain coaches get certain jobs. And then, by the way, we've got an offer from Nevada for coaches to go join the WAC. Listen, I don't know for sure, but I would be willing to bet an elite 1AA coach takes over a job in the WAC. And I don't have a great source on that, but I've heard that there's been talk of it. I've heard that there is one elite 1AA coach out there looking at it. Take that for what it's worth, because I did have sources 2 seasons ago indicating that a high-level Ivy League coach was going to take a job at another 1AA school, and that never panned out. And I had a good source on that, but it never panned out. This, I don't have as good of a source, and, you know, I mean, just take it for what it's worth. But I think there's a elite 1AA coach that is looking at an offer at the WAC. There's also a talk in the PFL and 1AA of several coaches leaving there too. Those coaches aren't the same, but I do think there's a PFL coach who will also take a WAC offer. I think the WAC's going to get some coaches this season. I really do. You put an offer out like that, you're going to get coaches. So the coaching carousel will be interesting to see how that opens up. Hopefully we'll see some D2 coaches come up to 1AA. Hopefully we'll get some new coaches who aren't even in Wilkinson to take some teams. But that's going to be a lot of fun, too, in just a couple of days, watching that whole job change period. I have a blast watching that stuff happen. So, again, tomorrow, championship games, Rutgers, LSU, Jacksonville State, California State. Going to be a lot of fun to watch all of those games play out. And I want to thank everybody for listening again. I am going to be away for a while, but you can expect some big interviews when I come back. Regardless of how I do on this exam. By the way, I'm nervous. For those of you who don't know, I've taken this exam twice. You have to get a 75 to pass. I have acquired a 72 each time. This exam is long. It's rigorous. It takes about 4 hours to complete. Now, I mean, it's not the bar, but goodness, I feel swamped with studying. So I'm going to be away for a little bit outside of giving away the Coach of the Year award. I will do that. The hope is to start off next season with an interview of each Coach of the Year award recipient. And then I want to do an interview with the WIS developer as well. Also, there is a big name who's known throughout the entire What Up Sports community, who I'm reaching out to, and I'm hoping to bring him on the show. I won't give out his name until I have confirmed that interview, however. And then I want to do an interview with Freedom 424, a member from that organization. So those are your interviews to look forward to over the next few weeks. And I will be keeping you updated as to when we will have our next show. Good luck to everyone in the championship games tomorrow. And if you're not in a championship game, but you made a level 5 bowl, good luck to you too. I think the intrigue in 1A is going to be watching these teams like Boston College, USC, and Penn State play and seeing how they prove to everyone that they should have been in a championship game. Those, to me, watching all those games play out is going to be a lot of fun. And keep your eye on the Texas-Minnesota game. The Big Z is going to be bringing his guns tomorrow for that BK Drives Texas offense. Oh, that's going to be a showdown there in the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, it's going to be fun. All right, this is CJ Sweat. This is the Wilkinson Entertainment and Sports Radio Network. Thank you to everyone for joining us today, and we will see you in a couple of weeks. Have a great day, everyone.